This program is provided by lawyer Kyung-jin Kim.
You know, historically, when a nation wanted to protect its most powerful, I don't know, world-changing assets, the strategy was always purely physical.
Right. You just build a vault.
Exactly. You pour 3 feet of solid concrete, you install a multi-ton titanium door, and you post armed guards outside. It's visible, it's tangible, and you know exactly where that perimeter is at all times.
Yeah, that physical barrier is a very comforting, very human way to understand security. I mean, you can literally walk up and touch the wall that's keeping the danger out or, you know, keeping the secret in.
But today, we are looking at a perimeter that is entirely invisible.
Yeah.
So welcome to your custom-tailored deep dive. We're looking at a pretty fascinating stack of information today.
We really are.
We've got an AI daily briefing from June 28th, 2026, paired with some incredibly sharp legal commentary from lawyer Kim Kung-jin. And our mission for this session is basically to make sense of a massive, sudden paradigm shift in the entire AI landscape.
Yeah, because we are essentially watching a geopolitical earthquake happen in real time.
Oh, absolutely.
On one side of the globe, the U.S. government is suddenly acting as the ultimate preemptive gatekeeper for frontier AI models. But then, simultaneously, international software developers, who are operating under heavy sanctions, by the way, are finding these ingenious, entirely code-based ways to completely bypass billions of dollars in hardware restrictions.
It's wild. To understand the technology of tomorrow, you really have to understand the geopolitics of today.
Exactly.
And the biggest shockwave we're seeing right now is that the United States government is stepping in before an AI model even sees the light of day. Like, we're talking about OpenAI's brand new GPT 5.6 Sol model.
Right, the Sol tier.
Yeah. As of right now, it is restricted to a limited preview for only 20 government-approved partners. General release has been pushed back to July. And I mean, while prediction markets like Polymarket are giving it a 94% chance of hitting that July target.
It's pretty high.
It is, but the regulatory hurdles are just massive right now.
Yeah, which actually makes that 94% seem quite optimistic, to be honest. Especially considering the bureaucratic heavyweights that just stepped onto the field.
Seriously.
I mean, the White House's Office of the National Cyber Director, the ONCD, and the Office of Science and Technology Policy, they formally requested that OpenAI not deploy this model generally without their explicit approval.
And these aren't just polite, you know, advisory memos either. Commerce Secretary Howard Lutnick personally called Sam Altman to warn against an unapproved release.
Wow. Yeah, that's huge.
Right. When a cabinet member directly dials a tech CEO to delay a product launch, you know, the internal alarm bells are just deafening. And the trigger for all this panic basically comes down to a single metric. GPT 5.6 Vario scored a 96.7% on internal cyber attack benchmarks.
Which we really need to contextualize what a 96.7% on a cyber attack benchmark actually means, because this isn't a standard multiple choice test.
Right. It's not the SATs.
Exactly. In these red teaming scenarios, the AI is placed in a sandbox environment and essentially tasked with acting as an advanced persistent threat.
Like a rogue hacker.
Exactly like that. It's asked to autonomously discover vulnerabilities, chain them together, draft highly convincing spear phishing campaigns, and attempt to exfiltrate data from simulated secure networks.
Which is terrifying.
It is, because scoring near 97% means the model isn't just assisting a human hacker anymore. It is effectively capable of executing end-to-end network breaches almost flawlessly all on its own. So naturally, that score landed it squarely in the high-risk tier.
Okay, let's unpack this, because I actually had to push back on the fundamental logic of this ban for a second.
Sure, go ahead.
Isn't this like inventing a revolutionary new deadbolt for doors?
Uh-huh.
Like a lock that could secure absolutely any house in the world, but the government confiscates it because, in theory, studying it could teach people how to pick older, weaker locks.
That's a really interesting way to look at it.
I mean, OpenAI themselves explicitly stated that it is highly undesirable to keep top-tier tools away from the cyber defenders who are actively trying to protect our networks. If the attackers eventually get their hands on a leaked model, which feels inevitable, shouldn't the defenders be armed with the exact same technology today?
Well, if we connect this to the bigger picture, it is exactly where lawyer Kim Kung-jin's commentary provides so much clarity for us. Kim points out the massive tectonic shift in legal and regulatory precedent happening right here.
How so?
Well, think back to Anthropic's Fable 5. That model was blocked and recalled after it was already released to the public.
Oh, right. It was like a retroactive clawback.
Exactly.
The genie was already out of the bottle and they just tried to shove it back in.
Right. Right, but with OpenAI's GPT 5.6, the model is blocked before release. The method is a preemptive strike, which touches on this highly sensitive legal territory of prior restraint. The U.S. government is now dictating the timeline, the scope, and the availability of cutting-edge AI. It is no longer a free market of innovation where a company just ships a product when it's ready. It is suddenly a state-managed deployment schedule dictated completely by national security interests.
Which completely upends the whole move fast and break things ethos that basically built Silicon Valley in the first place.
Absolutely.
But locking these models in a vault creates a massive paradox. Because if defenders don't have access to the smartest AI, how do they actually protect critical infrastructure?
That's the million-dollar question.
Right. And the answer, at least according to the June 28th briefing, is that the government is actually starting to arm the defenders with other restricted models through a very specific loophole.
Ah, yes. The defense-only doctrine.
Exactly. Just 16 days after severe export controls blocked it, Anthropic's Mythos 5 has been partially restored by Secretary Lutnick.
Okay.
Yeah, it's now deployed to over 100 U.S. critical infrastructure operations and defense agencies. We're talking about major Fortune 500 companies operating power grids, financial systems, alongside federal agencies, though obviously the exact list is highly classified.
Right, and we have to remember why Mythos 5 was locked down in the first place back in April. It was literally dubbed a cybersecurity reckoning.
Yeah, that was the headline everywhere.
Because this model is an apex predator for software flaws. It doesn't just scan for known virus signatures like your traditional antivirus software. It can read millions of lines of raw, undocumented code, simulate how data flows through that program, and independently identify zero-day vulnerabilities.
Basically, logic errors that human engineers completely myth.
Exactly.
So here's where it gets really interesting. How can an AI possibly be strictly defensive?
Well,
I mean, think about the mechanics of what you just described. If an AI is incredibly great at reading code and finding vulnerabilities in the system, it's basically just a high-powered flashlight.
Right.
It lights up the dark corners of a network. But a flashlight doesn't care if a night shift security guard is holding it to protect a building or if, you know, a cat burglar is holding it to break in. The tool just eliminates the structural flaws. So how do you regulate a flashlight?
You're hitting on the exact philosophical and practical contradiction that Lawyer Kim highlights. The U.S. strategy has clearly pivoted. The administration realizes that attempting to blindly ban the artificial intelligence itself is just an exercise in futility.
It's impossible.
Yeah. So the new strategy is to control who gets to hold the flashlight. They are attempting to draw an artificial line between offensive and defensive AI based entirely on the user's security clearance and corporate badge.
I gotta say, that feels incredibly fragile.
Oh, it really does. And it raises an important question, right? Can this artificial line actually hold up in the real world over a long enough timeline?
Probably not.
Because once a model like Mythos 5 is deployed to 100 different critical infrastructure nodes, the surface area for a leak, a jailbreak, or even just a rogue employee expands exponentially.
Yeah, every new authorized user is a brand new potential point of failure.
Precisely. And meanwhile, Anthropic's other model, Fable 5, is still pending general restoration, with daily government talks ongoing. So the government is essentially playing this massive high-stakes game of whack-a-mole.
Trying to decide which model goes to which user on which day, just to maintain this delicate balance.
Oh, exactly.
And they're relying heavily on export controls to enforce this balance globally, right? Trying to starve competitors of the advanced NVIDIA GPUs required to train and run these massive foundation models.
Right, the hardware choke point.
Yeah, because the conventional wisdom is that if you can't buy the hardware, you just fall behind. But what happens when a heavily sanctioned entity decides they don't actually need the newest hardware to win?
Oh, this is the best part.
DeepSeek just attacked the problem from an entirely different angle, and it is a full-scale software rebellion.
Yeah, this is where geopolitics meets raw, unfiltered engineering brilliance. Because when you are cut off from the physical supply chain of silicon, your only remaining frontier is the code itself.
Right. So on June 27th, while the U.S. was busy writing all these pre-approval regulations for GPT 5.6, DeepSeek quietly open-sourced a brand new inference acceleration framework called DSpark.
Okay, let's break that down.
Yeah, so inference just means the process of the AI actually generating an answer for a user, right?
Yeah.
As opposed to the initial training phase. DSpark makes that generation process radically faster. And this wasn't just some minor patch.
Far from it.
The founder of DeepSeek, Liang Wenfeng, broke a 5-month public silence just to be listed as a co-author on this specific research paper.
And you know, when a founder steps out of the shadows to personally attach their name to a specific framework, it signals a major leap in underlying capability.
Yeah, and the performance metrics totally back that up. DeepSpark speeds up DeepSeek V4 flash generation by 60 to 85% per user.
That's insane.
Right. And for their heavier pro models, it provides a 57 to 78% speed boost. But the real breakthrough happens in high concurrency situations, like when a massive amount of users are pinging the model simultaneously.
When the servers are getting hammered.
Exactly. In those heavy traffic moments, throughput jumps up to 400%. 4 times the output using the exact same restricted hardware.
They essentially found a way to make a 4-cylinder engine perform like a V8 without changing any of the physical parts.
Perfect analogy. And they didn't even lock this innovation into their own proprietary ecosystem. They applied DeepSpark to Alibaba's Qwen 3 models.
Oh, wow.
Just to explain for a second, those models come in different parameter sizes, right? 4 billion, 8 billion, and 14 billion parameters. Think of parameters like the synapses in a digital brain.
Sure.
A 4 billion parameter model is lightweight enough to run locally on a laptop, while a 14 billion parameter model has more reasoning capability but needs more computational grunt. Well, DeepSpark sped all of them up by 16.3 to 30.9%.
Across the board.
Across the board. DeepSeek put the model weights up on Hugging Face, and the training code, which is called DeepSpec, is sitting right there on GitHub for anyone in the world to download for free.
We really should dive into the actual technical mechanism behind this massive efficiency gain because it is just such an elegant solution to a brute force problem.
Yeah, it's called speculative decoding. It uses a parallel draft generation backbone, a small sequential head, and a load sensing scheduler.
Okay, that sounds like a lot of engineering jargon.
It does. To translate that, imagine a wildly busy restaurant kitchen. The old way of AI text generation is like a chef cooking one single ingredient, plating it, and then looking at the recipe to decide what to cook next.
Right, which is incredibly slow because the processor is constantly waiting for the previous step to finish. Every single word or token is calculated one at a time.
Exactly. But with speculative decoding, it's like having a team of sous chefs who are prepping 5 possible next ingredients all at once. That's the parallel drafting backbone. They're guessing where the sentence is going.
I see.
Then the head chef, the sequential head, just quickly glances and nods the correct ingredient to throw in the pan. The AI is verifying multiple future words instantly rather than generating them from scratch one by one.
That is brilliant.
Right. Plus, the load sensing scheduler means if the server traffic is quiet, the system preps even more options just to be safe. But if the servers are slammed with user requests, the system dials back the speculative prep to save compute energy.
What's fascinating here is how this entirely circumvents the United States' primary geopolitical weapon. Lawyer Kim points this out perfectly.
Oh, yeah.
The pattern is clear, and it is repeating. U.S. export controls block access to state-of-the-art GPUs. Chinese developers, unable to rely on hardware upgrades, simply optimize their software to bridge the gap. They are actively defeating silicon sanctions with software elegance.
It really is the ultimate asymmetric warfare. The U.S. builds a billion-dollar wall of export controls, and DeepSeek just invents a software jetpack, flies right over the wall, and then open sources the blueprints for the jetpack so every developer on Earth can build one too.
And that open source element is really the most disruptive part of this entire narrative. By putting DeepSpec on GitHub, they are lifting the baseline capability of every single developer who has an internet connection. They are literally commoditizing efficiency.
And because their servers are suddenly running so efficiently, DeepSeek's API prices just dropped 75% permanently.
Permanently.
Permanently. We are talking 44 cents per 1 million input tokens and 87 cents per 1 million output tokens.
Wow.
Just as a refresher, a token is basically a fragment of a word. Input is always cheaper because the AI is just reading what you pasted, which is easy. Output is more expensive because the AI has to mathematically generate every single new word. But at these new prices, DeepSeek is 5 times cheaper on input and 17 times cheaper on output than OpenAI's GPT-5.5.
I mean, that completely disrupts the global pricing structure for artificial intelligence.
Yeah, entirely. So we have this massive clash of titans happening in the background.
Yeah.
The U.S. government is locking down models as classified state secrets, while international companies are shattering hardware barriers with open source code and driving costs to the absolute floor.
Right.
So what does this all mean for you, the listener? Like, what does this look like when you sit down at your computer with your morning coffee?
Well, the ground underneath the daily consumer workflow is shifting way faster than the regulatory landscape, that's for sure.
Definitely. Look at what happened just this week on June 27th. GPT 4.5, officially retired from ChatGPT. Just poof, gone.
Just like that.
Including all the custom GPTs users, spent months building on it.
Yeah.
If you had a chat history there, it auto-migrated to GPT 5.5. We also finally got the pricing tiers for the new heavily guarded GPT 5.6 family, assuming it actually clears the regulatory hurdles.
Right, the ones we talked about earlier.
Yeah, it's split into three tiers. Sol is $5 for input and $30 for output per million tokens. Terra is $2.50 and $15. And Luna is $1 and $6.
The contrast there is just jarring. The premium Sol tier is $30 and output million. DeepSeek is providing high-speed generation for 87 cents.
87 cents. The chasm in cost is massive.
Yeah.
But at the same time, OpenAI officially deployed a feature called Codex Remote to all ChatGPT subscription plans. This is a really fascinating bridge between hardware and software. It basically allows users to start or continue heavy, complex coding tasks on a Mac or Windows host machine directly from their mobile phones.
That's incredibly convenient.
It is. It basically turns your smartphone into a remote terminal that controls a localized heavy compute environment back at your desk. You can initiate a massive code compile while sitting on a commuter train, and the heavy lifting just happens on your desktop machine at home.
It creates a profound dual reality for the end user. I mean, the tools available to the average consumer are becoming increasingly frictionless, invisible, and ubiquitous.
Yeah.
A tool like Codex Remote removes the physical barrier of needing to be at your desk to execute complex software engineering. The interface is light, it's easy. But the massive foundation models powering these frictionless experiences behind the scenes models like Sol and Mythos, they're being heavily gated, rigidly regulated, and practically treated as weapons-grade material.
It's like driving a luxury vehicle, where the dashboard is incredibly intuitive, the steering is smooth, the leather is soft, but the hood is welded completely shut. And the government holds the only key to the engine bay.
That's exactly it. The tension between those two realities, the frictionless consumer surface and the hyper-regulated militarized backend, is really going to define the next decade of digital infrastructure.
Absolutely. Well, let's take a step back and recap the deep dive we took today. We started by looking at the U.S. government pulling the regulatory leash tighter than ever, demanding pre-approval for OpenAI's GPT 5.6 Sol, effectively dictating release schedules based on how well the model acts as an autonomous hacker in cyber attack benchmarks.
Right.
Then we explored that defense-only loophole, where Anthropic's Mythos 5 was rapidly deployed to critical infrastructure to act as an apex vulnerability hunter, reading raw code to find zero-day flaws.
And while the West is building those regulatory walls and relying on export controls, the East is building softflow bridges. DeepSeek's open-source DSpark framework really proved that brilliant code, specifically speculative decoding, can completely neutralize hardware sanctions.
Yeah, driving massive efficiency gains and slashing API prices to a fraction of the cost of their Western competitors.
Exactly.
And finally, we saw this macroeconomic clash trickles down to your smartphone, where legacy models just vanish overnight, and new tools like Codex Remote turn your daily commute into a full-fledged remote development environment.
Which I think leaves us with a final, somewhat provocative thought to consider today.
Let's hear it.
We spent a lot of time discussing how DeepSeek software efficiency is actively rendering physical hardware sanctions obsolete. But let's look at the economic fallout of that open source software rebellion.
Okay.
If highly capable, highly efficient AI models can be run on older hardware and are being given away essentially for free on GitHub, what happens to the multi-trillion dollar valuations of Western tech monopolies?
Ooh, that's a good point.
The entire business model of companies like OpenAI relies on gating premium models behind expensive subscriptions and high API costs. If the baseline of open source AI becomes virtually free and 90% cheaper to run, will the Western AI financial bubble pop? Not because the technology failed, but because the code simply became too cheap to monetize.
Man, when innovation outpaces the business model, that is where the real disruption begins. We want to warmly thank you for sharing these incredible insights with us today and letting us build this custom deep dive for you. The landscape is shifting fast, so stay curious out there, and we will be right here to help you unpack whatever comes next.
This program is provided by Lawyer Kyungjin Kim.